This is Northwest News on 88.5 KNKX. Last week's presidential election result caught many people by surprise, including pollsters and much of the news media. Republican Donald Trump won key states, securing the necessary number of electors to become the nation's next president. But Democrat Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. And that led many of you to write to us here at KNKX asking questions about the Electoral College. How does it work? Why do we have it? Who are the electors? Let's explore some of those questions now with Robin Jacobson, Associate Professor of Politics and Government at the University of Puget Sound. She spoke to 88.5's Ed Ronco through an internet connection from her office in Tacoma. They began with the basics.
Why do we have an Electoral College?
The Electoral College was part of the larger compromises that were being made in the Constitutional Convention. In fact, I don't think there's any indication that it was a clear, a targeted strategy as the best way to elect our executive, but was in fact a compromise made towards the end of the convention to try to balance those who were interested in preserving governments at the state level and those who really were pulling for a stronger role for the federal government.
So there is a school of thought that says part of the reason for the Electoral College is that the founders didn't trust the populace entirely. Is there any truth to that?
I think there is, but it certainly is also a sign that they wanted to include the populace, right? There were other mechanisms that were considered, including just allowing state legislatures to do it, or the House of Representatives or the Senate, and those were dismissed for a number of reasons, and one of which was that there wasn't a voice for the people in that. They also didn't want to have any sitting body that already existed be the site for the election or the selection of the executive. They thought that that would potentially lead to corruption. Those who wanted a particular outcome could target them early on and for years to influence the outcome. They were also really worried about the influence of other governments, influence from abroad, being able to identify who would pick the president and then infiltrate that way.
So in Washington state, our electors we know are chosen by the party faithful during the primary season. Our Democratic electors will be voting on December 19th in Olympia, since Hillary Clinton won the state. And they were chosen in part at congressional district caucuses and at the state caucus. But who these people are and how they're chosen, that can kind of vary from state to state, right?
Today, electors are generally selected through parties. And that could be a party list that voters in the primaries actually vote on, or it could be the party central committee, or it could be particular party leaders in consultation with others. So those are the selection mechanisms. Electors, because of that, generally tend to be party leaders, party faithfuls of a variety of sorts.
The Electoral College does seem to attract the ire of people who are unhappy with the election result. We saw that in 2000. We saw Donald Trump tweeting about that in a previous campaign, and we see it now. Is this an arcane system? You know, I mean, are these the hitching posts on Main Street that need to be taken down, or does it still work for us?
Well, it depends on what working means and how we envision democracy. If it's one person, one vote, and that's what we think really should rule, then of course the Electoral College is outdated and there's not much need for it. It generates large, disproportionate voice for those in states with less population. Person in California might be weighted one third of a person in a much smaller state. So if that's what we want, then yes, it needs to be reformed. If what we're looking for still is a way to bring the country together that brings all voices into the table and that prevents some folks from feeling excluded and left out perpetually, then the Electoral College serves that function, even on the times when it doesn't mirror the popular vote.
And the Electoral College, in other words, is one of the reasons that candidates aren't just paying attention to the needs of New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Seattle, Houston.
Yeah, when I was in Pennsylvania in 2004 in a swing county in a swing state, we had a city of 4,000 people, and we had a presidential candidate coming through twice a week, or a vice presidential candidate speaking to just us, and that felt lovely, but it certainly represents a disproportionate set of attention, but it also meant that certain interests weren't left out. You know, there's discussion of clean coal because of the attention paid to swing states that are more rural and that carry larger weight in the election.
What would an electoral college revolt look like? Because that's been another thing discussed. You know, well, the electors can always change their mind and put Hillary Clinton in there. That sounds precarious.
It sounds like the end of the system if we go that route. We've just never seen anything like it. And that's not really how the Electoral College is set up. We have seen some of these faithless electors, but they've never actually influenced the outcome of any of the elections. Upturning and overturning the electoral vote, that seems a fundamental challenge to our constitutional democracy.
Well, Robin Jacobson, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ed.
Robin Jacobson is an associate professor of politics and government at the University of Puget Sound in Tacoma. She was talking to 88.5's Ed Ronco about the history and purpose of the Electoral College.